Hey, and welcome back. What's up? What's happening? Welcome back to a new episode of the Create Podcast with yours truly, Connie Bizalski. I am tuning in from Los Angeles again. And I was just thinking that, I'm not sure I've ever properly explained in a little more detail what this podcast is really all about. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of information in the show notes, but who reads that? Who knows? I also know that we do have quite a few new listeners, so welcome. And yeah, this podcast, the Create Podcast, is really all about my journey as a creator, my learnings, my insights, my adventures, my experiments. By which I mean, when I talk about creator, in my case anyway, I'm a YouTuber, I'm a writer, a filmmaker, a photographer. I used to be a professional blogger. I'm also a digital nomad, but that's not really what I do. That's just kind of like a label, I guess, because I kind of live all over the place. I travel a lot, and I have done so for many, many years. And in this podcast, I touch on topics like creativity, intentional life design, and mindfulness, personal growth, healthy habits, productivity, and also, you know, a bit of business here and there. It's kind of like the long form expanded versions of some of my like Instagram posts, newsletters, and YouTube videos. And I do diary style episodes, like the last couple ones, where I just kind of share what's been happening, what's going on, more like behind the scenes things, you know, new developments and that, but also topical ones like this one. And every once in a while, I also invite awesome people on to sit down and chat. Usually, those are like friends or, I don't know, just people I kind of cross paths with in person, live. So yeah, that's it. I hope that clears up any doubts you might have ever had. Okay, now let's dive into today's episode. No blah blah today. Today's Monday. I have a lot of stuff to do, and I've been meaning to get this episode out for probably, I don't know, a week or so. I actually tried to record this episode a few days ago, but I didn't have enough time, and then I kept on fucking up in the beginning, and I kept on starting over and over again, and I was like, you know what, well, forget it. I kind of ran out of time. So it is now Monday morning, 11:23, and let's go. Okay, so in one of my last emails, I don't know, a few weeks ago, that I sent out to my list, if you're not on that, then come and hop on over to connie.me, C-O-N-N-I.me, put that in your browser, scroll down a little bit, sign up for my weekly emails, and I do share quite a lot of my writing in there, more in there these days than I do on Instagram. Anyway, in one of those emails, I spoke about challenging the status quo and how I do that and how I, because of doing that, have been attracting a bit of abundance into my life, especially this year. It's been quite interesting. And so in this episode, I want to talk about manifesting awesomeness, manifesting abundance, and consciously creating our lives. And I guess it's a bit of an update to my surrender experiment. If you've watched my video that I put out a while back on YouTube, it was, I don't know, just a few minutes long, more like an art piece with, I guess, written poetry. And in it, I was kind of sharing how I'm embracing surrender this year and just kind of my feelings about that and letting go of parts of my business and not really knowing what's going to happen. And so this episode is a little bit kind of like bringing you up to date with recent developments and some of the learnings that I've had in the process. And when it comes to manifesting abundance and consciously creating our lives, I call it fifth dimensional living. Really. And I guess it's a lot of that is based on Dr. Joe Dispenza's work and like quantum fields stuff. And I highly recommend you dive into Dr. Joe's work and his books and his meditations. I mean, it's just powerful shit. But this episode is about more than just that. I generally love challenging the status quo. And I'll probably make an extra episode on how I've been doing that in the past and I've been doing it in the past and just, in which ways and how you can do it too and feel good doing it. A while back I realized that maybe I'm on this planet to challenge the status quo in all the different ways and to kind of help other people to wake up a little bit, to get them thinking and questioning how they live their life. And I get a lot of fulfillment out of doing that, I guess. I literally can't help but challenge conventional ways of living, thinking, and doing life, or business for that matter. And it seems like I'm currently also successfully challenging a very common and conventional status quo belief, one that I started to reject more and more, especially as I've been on my surrender experiment this year. But it really started back in the day, I think, when I started reading The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss back in 2011 is when I first discovered it. I think it came out in 2008 or so. So the status quo, or the common belief, is that we have to work hard. We have to hustle to make a lot of money and have success, right? That's kind of the thing. It's kind of like the tenor, the belief, the story that we're told. It's what they say, right? In the media and all the Gary Vaynerchuks and stuff. And a part of me also kind of believes in that. I mean, it's not just black and white. You know, none of this is. But still, the question is it really true? Because I just don't necessarily think so. And that is, I guess, maybe the first step in challenging the status quo and common beliefs, you know, and also generally the first step in changing our lives is like looking at what we believe, the stories we tell ourselves, how we do things every day, the habits we have, and then asking, is this true for me? Is this the only way I can do this thing? Is this story actually true, or that belief I have going on in my mind? Because in many cases and instances, a belief is really just a story that we tell ourselves over and over again. And then again and again and again. And that happens, it can happen for many years, for our entire lives, and with some of those stories, we might have been doing that ever since we were little tiny kids. And that's what beliefs are, really. Actually, while I'm at it, I'm once again trying to finish the book Sapiens. And it's such a good book, you know, basically the history of humanity. But as you read it, you just really understand that when it comes to us humans and the way we do things and the way that our lives are set up and culture and everything we believe in and gender and, you know, whatever, hierarchies and jobs, everything really, it's all artificial. Everything's artificial. Nothing is biology. And so it's very fascinating because it just makes you see that we as humans, we basically survive on these stories and beliefs, but a lot of them are just straight out outdated. And so a lot of us, we carry stories and beliefs from our parents, but they carry them over from their parents and their parents and their parents. So some of these beliefs and stories, they might be centuries old, and we're in 2019. Quite a few of them might have outserved us. And so when it comes to that, we have to work hard to make a lot of money and have success. You know, this year, I've noticed that every time that I set back, every time I surrendered, every time I let go, every time actually that I stopped working, literally stopped working, while I kept doing my manifestation work, which really is an inside job, not an outside job. Manifestation work is not about sitting at your laptop. It's not a doing thing. It's a being thing. But when I did that, when I stopped working, when I surrendered, when I let go of things. When I, you know that? That's when a lot of money and abundance came in. Almost every time. I'm not kidding. And more often than not, it came to me completely out of nowhere and without me expecting it. And that's the magic about manifestation and, you know, attracting abundance and the law of attraction and all the things, you know? And that in itself, like me sharing this with you, should tell you a lot of things. But let me be a little bit more specific because I just kind of touched on it in that email that I sent out. So in March, I think that's when I recorded and published that Surrender Experiment video. By the way, also go out and read the book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. That's his name. It's a wonderful book. At least the first half or three quarters. Towards the end, he like gets into a few details of parts of him building a business that I don't, you know, I might see that people might get bored with it, but the first half or three quarters are amazing. And it was funny how that book, I've had it on my Kindle for years and I never got around to reading it. And then somehow, you know, I mean, that's just magic in itself. I discovered the book in the archives of, you know, in the depths of my Kindle earlier this year. And I was like, oh, maybe it's time to read this. You know how we sometimes we're just attracted to certain things when the time is right? And that's what happened. So I started reading it. And I was like, holy shit, this is kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm living my own surrender experiment. So anyway, yeah, so in March, that's when I consciously surrendered in the way that I let go parts of my business. So I had a membership community running that was basically bringing in a nice amount of money every month. So I started it only in, I think it was October of last year, 2018. But I realized, like, man, it's not it. It didn't feel right anymore. And I think I even made a podcast episode about why I was shutting it down. And, you know, it felt scary to shut it down. Number one, because, well, I said goodbye to monthly income. And also because, you know, I felt like a failure a little bit in a way. But more so, I felt bad about disappointing people. But I knew at the same time I needed to follow my intuition. And my intuition was telling me to shut it down, even if it couldn't rationally explain it properly. But it just wasn't my highest excitement anymore. And I was called to do other things, namely to follow my path into photography and filmmaking and YouTube. And as I did that, and I remember when I did that, I was in Sri Lanka with a friend of mine, Kirsten, and we were like on a surf trip. And I couldn't surf though because I had an injury for the first week or so. And I was going through this process of letting go of this, you know, membership website and shutting it down and kind of taking the necessary steps and telling people. And, you know, I officially surrendered. Also, the internet was really horrible, so I couldn't really upload any videos on YouTube. And I was just like, fuck this. Maybe I just need to just not work. Because up until that point, I'd been hustling and working really hard for, I mean, you know, on and off for years, but especially, you know, a year and a half or so, just constantly without any breaks. And at that point, I realized, I was like, man, maybe I just need to just let it go, send out that email, let people know I'm shutting it down, and then just kind of sit back, heal my injury, and then go surfing. And that's when, at one point, seriously out of the blue, I discovered an affiliate account that had been connected to my old travel blog, Planet Backpack, that I started in 2012. I started the affiliate account in like 2014 or 15, but I didn't even know it existed. You know, it's one of those things, you just kind of sign up. And it was, I didn't remember it existed for all these years. And through some really interesting, weird fucking coincidences, a string of coincidences, I discovered it. And I discovered it, and then I somehow got access to it. And then I saw that over 4 or 5 years, this affiliate account had amassed about 15,000 euros. So that's about what, 16, 17,000 US dollars. And I looked at that and I was like, holy fuck, is this for real? Is this really my money? Are they still gonna pay me out? Like, you know, I wasn't even sure they were gonna pay me that money. And I was sitting there and I was like, okay, well, let's see. So, you know, the reason that they hadn't paid me out over all those years was because I never submitted my bank account details or any sort of PayPal details. And so that money had just been sitting there and accumulating through, I think it was through like a health insurance, travel insurance thing that people signed up for on my website through my link. And then, you know, I got a commission. And anyway, 2 weeks later, they paid me out and I had all that money on my bank account. And, you know, I looked at that and I was like, holy fuck. So I spoke to my coach, my therapist, Emma, about that. She's like, Connie, do you realize something? I was like, what? She's like, well, so when you surrender, when you let go, when you start trusting and you follow your path, that's when the universe just hands you all of that money. Whereas before, you know, you were worried more about money. But when you finally let go of all these worries, you know, it's like the universe just kind of told you, hey, I'm here. I'm holding space for you. I'm supporting you. It's okay. You can totally surrender. You can just not work and you can take a break and you can follow this calling that's calling you really hard and I'll be there. I'll be supporting you. I was like, whoa, holy shit. That's so true. And it felt so right and in alignment. And so, you know, I went on. Like, nice, sweet ass. That was like a nice little big gift from the universe. And then this summer, so now we're coming to the second sort of example. So this was just recently when I was in Germany in June for a few weeks, and friends of mine, they came to visit me very spontaneously. Marcus and Feli, they organized the DNX, the Digital Nomad Conference in, Germany, but also all over the world. And they're very good friends of mine, and they came to visit me for a few days back down at my mom's house in Bavaria. And, you know, we're just kind of chatting, and they're like, oh, yeah, so we sold our travel blog a few months back. It was so easy, and this is how much we got. And I was like, whoa, holy shit, really? And I'd been thinking about selling Planet Backpack for a long time because my heart hasn't been in it for a couple of years at least now. But also I haven't been doing any work on it. It was still sort of making a bit of money, but I just could not put any effort into it. And it wouldn't have taken much time or effort to kind of get the site to make more money again. And, you know, because it still has a lot of really good traffic coming in every month, like 60,000 visitors. I just can't do shit that I'm not into. I just can't do it. Okay, so anyway, and so we were chatting and I was like, man, you know, I've been thinking about selling my website, but it just always felt like work, or like, how do I even do that? Like, where do I even start? I don't even know how much to ask for. Like, it just felt like this mountain that was very high and I just didn't feel like climbing it. So I'd rather just not sell it and just kind of let it sit there, which was totally silly. So then Marcus was like, yeah, but well, we just sold ours in this Facebook group and I put up one post and it sold very quickly for a nice amount of money. And I was like, ooh. So he was like, well, I'll share the Facebook group with you. And you can basically copy and paste the post that I used, and and just see what happens. And I was like, oh, okay, sure, why not? So a couple of days later, I sit down. I basically copy and paste his post. Of course, I change the numbers and a few other things. And I posted in that Facebook group, and within a few minutes, I get a text message, a WhatsApp message from friends of mine that I only met back in, when was it? When was I in Mexico City, guys? When was that? Like April, May? I don't remember. Somewhere around that. And we met for the first time there in Mexico City in a coffee shop. And then we hung out a couple more times. They're super cool, super awesome. They're a couple. And they were still giving me advice on like how I could quickly and easily, you know, get Planet Backpack back up to speed and make a lot more money and all the things, because they're very successful with their own like affiliate businesses and websites. And so they send me a message saying, oh my God, we can't believe you're selling Planet Backpack. We're totally interested. How much do you want? And I was just like, ooh, holy shit. And so I just tuned in and I was like, what would be a good price? And I just tuned in. Like I knew that the answer as to, or generally like the amount that I was asking for, I didn't want to do a shit ton of research. I didn't want to talk to a whole lot of people. I make my own decisions based on my intuition and what feels good. Okay, that's what I do. Even if it means that maybe I lose money or I'm asking too much, I don't care. It's important to what the value is to me, right? And so I told them, and I'm not exactly sure if I'm allowed to actually say the exact amount, because I have a feeling there was something in the contract that said I wasn't. But anyway, it was somewhere in the mid five-figure range. And that was my feel-good amount. And I just put it out. And they were like, hell yeah, let's talk. So we spoke. And I, in the meantime, I'm getting a shit ton of emails and messages from other interested buyers through that Facebook group. And, you know, making me all these offers. And I was just like, oh my God. This is so easy. Eventually, though, I realized that I got a couple of offers that offered me more than what I was asking from my friends. But I realized that I want to be sold to these guys because I think they're awesome. They're amazing businessmen and entrepreneurs. I trust them. I know they're going to do cool shit with Planet Backpack. And, you know, I just kind of felt like they were this whole thing, like me meeting them in Mexico City and then my friends coming to see me in Germany and then, you know, them getting in touch because they immediately, by coincidence, apparently saw my post in the Facebook group. I just felt like that was orchestrated by the universe. That was me manifesting flow, manifesting abundance out of basically almost nowhere. It just, you know, 3 days before that, I would have laughed at you if you told me, oh, by the way, in 3 days, you're going to sell Planet Backpack for your feel-good amount of money. So that happened. And then I was like, well, and then the whole thing of like transferring the website and like taking care of everything and the payment, like easy as fuck. And that's how I like things to be, in the flow. And that's what happens when we surrender. Things are just suddenly in the flow because we allow them to be in the flow. Because when we surrender, that's when we create space rather than when we're holding on and we have expectations and we want something and we're impatient and, you know, and frustrated. Then we're in scarcity and we're holding on. We're literally suffocating the flow. We're suffocating the manifestation, suffocating the abundance. So the same thing actually happened when it comes to flow with the book deal that I signed. Because from the very beginning, because I had a couple of publishers approach me and I said to the universe, I'm like, I don't have to write this book. But if you want me to write this book, then it's got to be in the flow. Things got to be really easy. And this whole time, for the most part, really, it's been so easy and in the flow. so far anyway. I mean, I'm just starting to write, and the way I'm doing that is like, I'm just going to be, yeah, I think I shared it in my last episode, but it's just going to be in the flow. So flow, my friends, is when we stop holding on. Okay, and the third sort of example or experience that I had recently was that, you know, how I was going through this phase of, you know, challenges in my relationship with Grace, but also a full-on depressive phase, really, to be honest. And so this sort of started, when was this? Like beginning of June or so. And up until that point, I was working really hard on pushing out weekly videos, very high quality videos. I put a lot of time and effort into shooting the videos, editing the videos, all the things. And I, yeah, on a weekly basis. And then eventually, though, as I kind of ended up deeper and deeper into my depression in June, I just could not create any videos. I wasn't creative. And I also made an episode about all that a couple episodes back. And I, yeah, and it just didn't matter anymore at that point. Like when I'm depressed, like, whatever. YouTube channel not growing, whatever. Whereas before I was like, no, I gotta push out a video a week and all the things. So so I kind of stopped creating. I just took a voluntary, involuntary break of putting content out and creating. I barely touched my camera in June and most of July. And what happened, though, is that at some point, I think later in June it was, maybe, or beginning of July, I didn't even notice until a week later, but a video that had spiked in, it already had spiked or popped, as they call it in YouTube language. I think it must have been maybe in March or April. It popped even more. So it popped in like March or April, and by popping, I mean, I created that video, I think in December of last year, and then suddenly something happened in the YouTube algorithm and that video took off and got me a lot of views and subsequently a lot of new subscribers. And my YouTube channel was growing very slow. It was frustrating, but I don't care. I love making videos. Of course, I would like it to grow, but in essence, I'm so connected to me just wanting to create and make videos and get better at making these awesome videos. And I was like, eventually it'll grow. But it was hovering around like 12,000-13,000 subscribers for the longest time. I was getting, I don't know, a few subscribers every day. And sometimes, yeah, it was definitely hard to not get frustrated. And I think this is actually something I want to make an episode about as well. You know, what do we do when we want things to grow, like YouTube channels or businesses or Instagram accounts, and it's just not happening? So that's where I was at. And so the video popped in March or April, and I got quite a few new subscribers. And then it kind of slowed down again. And then it popped again, like I said, at the beginning of July or end of June. But even more so, like double or triple that. Like now, like this one video, it's about, I think, 10 things I don't buy as a minimalist, or I stop 10 things I stop buying as a minimalist, something like that. You can go and check it out. I'll put all this stuff that I mentioned in the show notes. I'll try to remember anyway. And it now is sitting at 200,000 views. Yes. Whereas like at the beginning of the year, it was probably at like 1,500 or some shit. So it just completely exploded, which this is my most viewed video by far at this point, 200,000. And number one, it brought in my first real income from YouTube. I think I made about $700 in July, or like, yeah, July and August, or like $1,000 maybe altogether. Whereas before I was making like maybe $100, $150, whatever, like, you know. But now I'm like, oh, $700, $1,000, that's like, we're getting somewhere here. And even though that growth has also slowed down again, but it brought in several thousand subscribers, and now we're at like more than 18,000 subscribers. We're going strong onto the 20K. That's huge. I know, you know, there's channels and they just explode and then suddenly they have 100,000 or whatever. I don't care. Like, for me, this growth is huge, considering the fact that I've been working on this YouTube channel for quite a few years now, and I was hit hard. The reason why the growth was so slow for so long is because I got hit really hard when I switched languages from German to English a couple of years ago. And I feel like YouTube penalized me. I lost a lot of subscribers because of changing language. In any case, so what I'm trying to say is, when I stopped creating content, when I stopped giving a shit about growth and views and subscribers, when I just completely let go, that's when my YouTube channel grew the fastest ever, like 2,000 subscribers in a month or more, 2,500 in like July. And so those are three examples of like, huh, that's interesting. Every time that I let go, that's when a lot of money comes in. And I forgot to mention that with the sale of Planet Backpack, this was also in the middle of my super depressive phase, right? Like at the end of June. So three times I let go, I surrender, and abundance enters my life. Now, I find that quite interesting, don't you? And I'm sure there's people out there, and maybe some of you listening to this are like, yeah, it's just luck, right? It's just coincidence. And when I said coincidence before, I hope you heard the quotation marks, because I don't believe in luck or coincidence. I think it's bullshit. This series of abundance manifestation has, I mean, one time, okay, whatever. Two times, okay, whatever. Three times, that's a pattern. And I mean, there have been other smaller occasions where things happened out of nowhere this year because I surrendered. But I just wanted to share these three big ones. So I personally see, I'm seeing a pattern. I'm seeing the law of attraction really hard at work here. And all this, to me, is manifestation coming straight from the fifth dimension, from the quantum field. And even though, yes, I've been doing the meditations and the work, the inner work, and I kept doing that inner work, I think it's about more than that. And I am personally still trying to wrap my head around all of this. But I guess the big question is, like, what can you learn from my experience? And I think the number one point is that the more we surrender and let go, the more things can actually happen. But the question is, what does surrender and letting go actually mean? Like, if you think about it, what does it mean to you to surrender and let go? How does it feel in your body to surrender and let go? Tune into that for a second. To me personally, surrendering and letting go means to trust. It means to stop grasping. I was kind of talking about that a little bit earlier on. It means to stop having expectations. It means to stop waiting. Because here's the thing, the more you wait for things to happen and manifest, the more you're going to wait for abundance. Or worse, actually, and more common is that people get frustrated and impatient because it hasn't arrived yet, right? They're like, well, I've been doing all these meditations and all the things, and I'm working so fucking hard, but nothing's happening. I'm still not making any money. I still only have 100 Instagram followers. But the more you think that way, the more you're actually separate from your creation and from what you want to manifest. And I think that that is such a huge, huge thing to take in. Let's take the example of relationships and dating or attracting partners. So, you know how people say, and I will say the same thing, it happened to me when I met Grace about a year and a half ago. you know how they say this, that, or I also have a lot of friends who would probably attest to this. When we're out there single, looking for a partner, we're out dating, we're in Tinder and all the apps, and all we want is just to be in a relationship, nothing's going to fucking happen. Your dream girl or boy or anything in between, they're not going to, you probably are repelling them. But when we least expect it, and we're not looking, and we're not on Tinder maybe, then suddenly love shows up. Why do you think that is? And I'm sure you've heard people say that, and I will say the same thing. It's when I had surrendered, when I had least expected it, and I totally wasn't looking, that's when grace entered my life. So what and I feel like both of this relates. Like love, money, you know, they're completely infinite. There's infinite amounts of money and love on this planet. But we stop the fucking flow coming to us when we're out there looking for it, when we're frustrated, when we're impatient, when we're waiting. So that was one big learning that I had in the last, about year and a half, 2 years, especially, like where I really felt it. And all of these things this year also, like that affiliate count money, selling my blog and the business attached to it, my YouTube channel growth, like I could have never predicted that. I swear to God, I never thought that that video would pop again. I mean, I never heard of a video pop twice, you know, to then bring in a lot more views and new subscribers. I never heard that before. So that's what the universe does. We got to do the work, the inner work to manifest and tune into abundance, even if we don't have it. And then we got to let go. We got to let the universe do its thing. It doesn't matter what the fucking details are. You know, it will come in through a door that you don't expect. And that's the beauty of manifesting from the universe. And that's the beauty of all of this, because you just can't engineer it. It's not possible. And the number two thing that was a big learning for me, and that I hope you can learn from my experiences, is that this whole thing, manifesting and creating consciously our lives and attracting abundance, it's an energy thing. What do I mean by that? Well, number one, what energy do you show up with every day? What's going on in, like, if our thoughts and our feelings create our reality, right? Then what are your thoughts and your feelings in your body every day? What's going on? And so if you walk around with negative thoughts all day long, if you walk around being frustrated and angry and jealous and whatnot every day, then yeah, I don't think that's the way to manifest abundance at all. Like I said, I think you repel it, you push it away. So how did I do it? Well, I do a lot of open heart meditations, and I do the Dr. Joe ones, but I also just do them myself in silent meditation. I don't need a guided meditation to do them anymore. It's a great way to get started, I think, with the Dr. Joe meditations or any other sort of open, like heart opening meditation or manifesting abundance meditations that are out there. And there's some better ones and some maybe not so good ones, but that's why I prefer Dr. Joe's, because I just think they're the best. He's just fucking awesome. But there's a lot out there by Deepak Chopra, or go to the Inside Timer app. And yeah, so I do a lot of open heart meditations. I tune into that heart space. I open it wide open. And then I tune into gratitude for things that I want to manifest but that haven't happened yet. Like right now, for example, I'm not thinking about the fact that I have 18,000 subscribers on YouTube. Like all day, every day, I walk around like I have 200,000 YouTube subscribers. And I know the number doesn't really matter, like, and it doesn't. But to me, that number signifies that, you know, if I have around 200,000, I have a really nice income. I can make a living making videos. And that's why I have this number up. So there's a reason for that. So don't just come up with these numbers of like money or subscribers or whatnot just because you think it feels good. Like, have a reason for it. So yeah, it's, we got to feel grateful. We got to already be in that energy of what we want to manifest. And another really good exercise to do frequently is to write out your vision, your life vision, the things you want to manifest, the goals that you have, the things you want to manifest, write them out. Write them out. And as you do, feel into all the feelings that accompany your goals, your vision, whatever, right? Like, how does it feel to run a successful business? How does it feel to be in a really healthy relationship? How does it feel to live in a nice house? How does it feel to be super free and travel the world? Like, whatever. I don't care what you want to manifest. There's no right or wrong. Make it meaningful. I think that's one thing I want to maybe give you as an advice. Make it meaningful, right? Don't just manifest the money for the sake of money, but like, what are you going to do with that money? How are you going to change the world with that money? So yeah, write out your vision frequently. And you know, a lot of people talk about gratitude practice, and I get, like, for sure, like having a daily gratitude practice, you can do it in writing, you can do it in your meditation. Absolutely. The more gratitude you feel on a daily basis all the time, holy shit, the universe is just going to shower you in amazingness and abundance. And the other thing is, you got to shake things up. If you do the same shit every day, all day, for years, nothing's probably going to change. And so pick up new habits, try out new stuff, do 30-day challenges, you know, take a new route to the supermarket, whatever, but like, change the little things in your life. Prepare yourself for the unexpected, expand your comfort zone, like, stop sticking to how you do things all the time every day. I swear that that will make it way harder for abundance to enter your life. And lastly, start spending more time around positive people. Spend more time around people who are maybe already abundant. We are the average of the five people we spend most of our time with. Like, I just so fucking believe in that. So who are those five people? But generally, just kind of create more positivity in your life by spending more time with positive people, but also by, you know, plugging positive podcasts or motivational speeches into your ears instead of depressing music and reality TV shows and that shit. Like, make sure that what you put into your mind is good stuff, stuff that inspires you, right? And meditate, yo. Like, watch your thoughts, become the observer of your thoughts. Stay conscious. Because I think that the more we watch these reality TV shows, the more we consume shit, the easier it is for us to go unconscious again. So stay conscious. Meditate. Meditation helps us, for one, to create space, to tune into gratitude, to connect with that vision that we have for ourselves and our lives, to connect with our big why, and yeah, to just become the observer of what's going on inside of us. So yeah, damn, that's it. That's all I got. How long have, okay, yeah, that's about 45 minutes. I would like to keep these episodes at about, these solo episodes, I don't know, maybe like 30, 45 minutes. Maybe every now and again, like more a bite-sized episode, maybe just like 20 minutes, 15 minutes. I don't know. I mean, I always love your feedback. By the way, I'm so grateful for all of you that shared my episode, my last episode especially, in their Instagram stories. It makes me so happy to see that you guys listen to the show and you know, any feedback that you send me in, on Instagram or in an email. I just love that. It makes me feel really, really good. The problem with podcasts is that there's no real comment system. So it's not like Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube where you can leave a comment. So for us as podcast producers, podcast creators, you know, it's a little lonely here in front of the microphone because, yeah, the only way we can receive feedback is by telling you guys to send us messages and share the podcast. I like it when I see it in Instagram stories, and I'll try my best to reshare your story in my story. So do tag me when you share it. And what else do I have? Not much, at least nothing more in my notes. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you're the first to find out on Friday. So that's 4 days away. Grace and I are flying to Hawaii, specifically to Oahu. Super excited. Flying into Honolulu. We're staying for about a week. It's like just a little teaser. I would love to spend more time in Hawaii, maybe at some point if I like it. But anyway, I've never been to Hawaii. So fucking excited. Grace is too. And yeah, so that'll be interesting. And I'll probably take that week off of creating stuff and working because it's Hawaii, yo. gotta be full on in the present moment in Hawaii for sure. All right. Thank you so much for listening. You're amazing. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.